All right, let's pray. All right. Father, we thank you for the day. We thank you for an opportunity that we have to get together. Lord, I thank you so much for the church and for the family that is included in it. And I just thank you so much that you have provided this for us to be able to fellowship with one another, to be able to be encouraged by one another, to be your hands and feet, and to bring your gospel to the world around us in the lives that we live. And I pray this morning that as we study out your word, Lord, that you would make it clear to us, and that we may be the people that you ask us to be by being obedient to it. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Okay, again, back in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, as we read 12, 13, and 14 last week, and as we went through, there's a few things as reminders before we get into the individual gifts. We must remember, number one, the gifts are given by whom? The Holy Spirit, which is God, that abides in whom? All of us? Believers, those who have trusted Christ as their Savior. So people who have placed their faith in Jesus Christ have the Holy Spirit living within them. The gifts are given to those people by the Holy Spirit. For what purpose? To edify the church and to glorify God. Okay, we want to make sure that we keep these things in mind as we look at any of these gifts, no matter what they happen to be. Okay? Now, in all of that, as we are to edify the church or build up the church with these gifts, what is the primary support, I will say, for the gift? No matter what gift it is, what is it that we must do, must keep in mind, and must operate within every single time in order to be correct? Huh? Yes? I'm going to give you a reference. 1 Corinthians 13. Love. Do not forget that as you operate within these gifts, the primary focus is love. Jesus, in Matthew 22, as he is talking to his disciples and to the Pharisees, he is asked a question: what is the greatest commandments? What is his answer? To obey God and the law, right? What did he say? To love the Lord your God and to love your neighbor as yourself. And all the law and the prophets are summed up in these two. It's not an accident, I do not believe, that Paul goes in to 1 Corinthians 13 in the middle of all the gifts. It's a reminder to us that Jesus told us we are to operate out of love. Love for God and love for your neighbor. Love for the people that you interact with. This is how we are to do the things that we are to do. It's out of love. Now, that doesn't mean we all run around with this mushy, warm feelings for each other all the time, because that doesn't work. Anybody that's been married any length of time will tell you there are days when I love my spouse and I do not like her. And she will say the same. But here's the thing. Love doesn't necessarily mean that you are feeling good. Do you think God was feeling really good about you when he placed Christ on the cross to die for your sin? It wasn't about emotion. Emotion will lead you astray. It was about the right thing to do, because God is always right. And he will always do the right thing. Therefore, he loved you before you were capable of loving him back. Romans 5, 8. While we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. So no matter what, if you actually want to keep the gifts in the context in which they were written, make sure that we understand, first of all, what they were for, who they were given by, and how they are to be practiced. They are to be practiced to glorify him and out of love for your neighbor and for him. If those things aren't in alignment, then guess what? No matter what you're doing, you're wrong. Right? You're mine. Yes. Yes, there is. Amen. Amen. You guys know where that's at, right? Galatians chapter 6. Okay. It's a beautiful passage of scripture. Okay. It is the fruit of the Spirit. It is what is yielded from the Spirit living within you, you yielding to Him. Now, that brings up another thing. As we practice this, something He made very, 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 very clear. God is a God of order, not of disorder. The practicing of the gifts should never, ever, ever be chaotic. Paul makes that uber clear. So whenever you look at this or somebody has questions, make sure that you keep this in context. And it's a big chunk of scripture. There's a reason. Because the Corinthians, like a lot of people in the United States, had an issue with the gift of tongues. It's pretty obvious they did. Because he really kind of goes overboard about that, actually. It's kind of one of the things that, it's just like the practice of what? That they were having a problem with. The practice of communion, which we're going to partake of today. They had some issues. They were doing some things that were like way out of line. Well, in the area of the spiritual gifts, they had some issues. One of them was tongues. He kind of goes overboard about the whole tongues thing. Why do you suppose that is? They gone overboard with it. They were doing some things that they shouldn't have been doing. And Paul straightens them out. Keep it in the context. Okay? So, what are the gifts? Well, he kind of lays out a bunch of gifts. And then in 12:28 through 31, he kind of lays them out in sort of an order. 12:28 starts with this. Let's actually start in 27. It says, "Now you are the body of Christ, and each one of you is a part of it. And God has placed in the church, first of all, apostles, second, prophets, third, teachers, then miracles, and then gifts of healing, of helping, of guidance, and of different kinds of tongues." And then he says this, "Are all apostles? Are all prophets? Are all teachers? Do all work miracles? Do all have gifts of healing? Do you all speak in tongues? Do all interpret? Now eagerly desire the greater gifts." What are the greater ones? There you go. Prophesying. Yeah. Actually, Paul lines them out. What does he say? The top one is prophesying and teaching, right? The word, teaching the word. Now, why is it that that's like at the top? It follows this list in 28 through the end, 31. Why do you suppose that's? It's the word. It's the word. First of all, I kind of alluded to some things last week that we need to kind of finish. Number one, when we think of prophecy, we tend to, for whatever reason, think of the foretelling of the future. And that's not exactly accurate. In the Old Testament, before there was the written word, in a lot of it, there was people being spoken to by the prophets. And I can prove this from the Word of God. Please go to Hebrews 1. Okay? In Hebrews chapter 1, it says this. "In God spoke to our ancestors through the prophets at many times and in various ways. But in these last days, He has..." What did he just say there? You need to pay attention to every word here. Yep. Don't miss anything, because this will tell you all you really need to know. In these what days? What does that mean?
Right now.
Yes. From the cross, from the time of Jesus, it says, in these last days he has spoken to us by his Son, whom he appointed heir of all things and through whom also he made the universe. The Son is the what? Radiance of God's glory and the what? Exact representation of his being, sustaining all things by his powerful word. After he had provided purification for sins, he sat down at the right hand of the majesty in heaven, so he became much superior to the angels, as the name he has inherited is superior to theirs. Jesus is it. Including revelation to the human being. It says, in this last days, he spoke to us by his what? Son. And as he was to go, what did he tell his disciples? I must go so that what? The Comforter or the Spirit will come. And when he comes, he will what? Remind you of everything that I have taught. And if you love me, you will obey my commands. It's like the end of it. That's it. He came, he died, he was buried, he rose again, and the words he spoke, this is the end of it. When you have it, you have it. It's done. If somebody comes to you and says, I have a new revelation from God, what do you know? They're a liar. That's what you know. Immediately, you know that. Why? Because it says so. Right? We have the words of Jesus, do we not? Yes, we do. We have the teachings of Jesus, do we not? Yes, we do. Now, let's go back to the prophecy thing. Prophecy in the Old Testament. Before we had this completed thing, we call the word. And as the prophets came to the people and told the people, were they just there to tell the future events? No, in fact, a lot of times they were there to tell them the current events. Like, you're going to go to war tomorrow and you're going to die. Things like that. And it was, well, how accurate was it? Yes. Sometimes he told them, when you go, you're going to win. You know? Sometimes he told them, you're going to go and you're going to die and you're going to lose. Now, were there false prophets? We're going to go to Deuteronomy first. This is actually the one passage I was going to go to because it's extremely clear. The test. Okay? Deuteronomy chapter 18. This fits with Hebrews chapter 1 because Hebrews says in the previous days that he raised up prophets and he talked to them through the prophets. Let's just start in verse 14. And we'll read through the end of the chapter. It says, the nations you will dispossess, listen to those who practice sorcery and divination. You guys understand what that means? Sorcery and divination? It's the occult. The practice is listening to Satan himself, demons, okay? But as for you, the Lord your God has not permitted you to do so. The Lord your God will raise up for you a prophet like me from among you, from your fellow Israelites. You must listen to him. This is Moses speaking, okay? For this is what you asked of the Lord your God at Horeb in the day of the assembly when you said, let us not hear from the voice of the Lord our God, nor see this great fire anymore, or we will die. You guys remember that whole situation where they were below the mountain and things were going and they were like, we're going to die. Right? So they asked that Moses speak on God's behalf. The Lord said to me, what they say is good. I will raise up for them a prophet like you among their fellow Israelites, and I will put my words in his mouth. Okay, whose words? God's words. So is it the word of God? Yes. Okay? I will put my words in his mouth. He will tell them everything I command him. I myself will call to account anyone who does not listen to my words that the prophet speaks in my name. Okay, so if you hear what the prophet says and you refuse to obey or refuse to believe, who's going to call you into account? God is. His words are meant for you to adhere to listen to, okay? To obey. But, it says, a prophet who presumes to speak in my name anything I have not commanded, or a prophet who speaks in the name of other gods, is to be what? Put to death. You may say to yourselves, how can we know when a message has not been spoken by the Lord? If what a prophet proclaims in the name of the Lord does not take place or come true, that is a message the Lord has not spoken. The prophet has spoken presumptuously, so do not be alarmed. What does it say in John 17? Sanctify them by your truth. What is your truth? Your word is truth. This is consistent from front to the back. It's his word. And his word came to us from the prophets. Then it came to us from whom? His son. And it is consistent without falsehood, true, all the way through from the front to the back. And if you find something that somebody says is not true, then you know it's not from him. So, prophet, yes, Dave, sorry, you had your hand up a couple of different times and I was ignoring you. I apologize. Yep, and restores him back to life. Well, healing is important, but healing is a hallmark usually of the apostles. It's a hallmark of the apostles. Now, I am not, we're going to get into it just a little bit. I'm not going to stand here and say that healings are not done today. I'm not going to say that because I truly believe that they have been done. But as far as someone standing up and claiming that they have the power to heal at their desire, I'm sorry, they've never had that. That is a gift of the Spirit to be exercised by him for his purpose to glorify him in an orderly fashion. You understand? Let's make sure we keep things in the context in which they're written. But the truth of the word is primary. It is why Paul laid it out the way he did. So prophecy, if what Paul had to say, what is prophecy then? If it's not the foretelling of the future, then we also, what we do see is it is what thus says God. That's actually about as close of a definition of prophecy as I could give you. Thus says God. God. Where do we receive the thus says God? Where do we get that from? Huh? From the word. It is one of the reasons why Paul told Timothy, what? Preach the word. Hey, it's important because we will not know what God wants unless we are in it, reading it, understanding it, seeking him in it. It is a primary thing. Prophecy is not the foretelling of the future. It is the preaching of thus says God. And as it goes out, it does do the job that God wants it to do through the power of the Holy Spirit in the individual that is listening. It's not just in the power of the person who is speaking. The Holy Spirit uses what is spoken from the word to have an effect on the person who is hearing what is being said. Okay? This is something, it's a participation, in other words. There, go ahead. Yes, active listening. Amen. Yes. So, prophecy is important. How does that differ? We're going to move on now to teaching. Or does Paul actually distinction between the two in his listing here? Teaching versus prophesying. What's the difference then? If somebody has a gift of preaching, does that mean they have the gift of teaching?
Yeah, I would say they have to, or they can't handle the word.
Usually, yes, usually, because correct. Now, if somebody has the gift of teaching, does that mean they have the gift of preaching?
Not necessarily.
Right. So, teaching, a gift of teaching, is the ability of someone that God has gifted to be able to take the word, discern throughout the word, in keeping it in context, what the word has to say, and make it understandable in its context so that we understand what God is saying to us. So, in a teaching situation where it's maybe a one-on-one or 25 or 30 or 40, in a teaching situation where there's interaction back and forth, somebody could be very gifted in the area of being able to articulate and keep on track and to go from one point to another point, keeping the Word of God in context concerning the subject, and to be able to help people to understand what God is saying. That's a gift of teaching. Now, if you're up here as a preacher and you're preaching the word and you're not able to do that, it's going to be very confusing for you. There might be lots of yelling and screaming and throwing things, whatever, but you won't have any clue when you leave the door and go, wow, that was passionate. What did he say? Okay, we don't want that. We want to be able to understand what's being said. So, yes, somebody who has the gift of prophecy or preaching will definitely have a gift of teaching. It goes hand in hand. But a teacher may not necessarily be gifted to stand up and preach to you. Okay? So it is a distinction. But both of them are primarily focused on the word. Okay? So we have a prophet or prophecy. Can be two very different things. Now, some people will really start to break things down and say, well, see, the preacher really is just a prophet. We need to be really careful when we use these terms. Why do you suppose we need to be careful when we use these terms? Well, when I just said that, what is the very first thing that came across your mind? When I said, well, see, the preacher really is a prophet. What is the very first thing that crossed your forehead? And why is that? Why is that, Grant? I agree with you 100%, but why is that? They do. Not only do they make a thing of it, but what is the prophet? This is an interesting thing. I am really glad he mentioned it because this is exactly why people think this. He said LDS Church. When I say the preacher is a prophet, he says LDS Church.
I could have said Bethel.
Well, yes. Why does this give us this like feeling?
Because prophets claim an authority.
They assume the presumption, which is in Deuteronomy 18, they assume the presumption that they speak for God. And they may or may not give you an accurate reading and teaching from the Word. LDS, it's not from the Word. The primary is not from the Word. The primary is from... And it changes all the time. There's new revelation all the time. That is one of the things reason you should know that it isn't right. And whether it's the LDS Church or whether it is the Church of Bethel or some of these other churches that actually start talking about, we have modern day apostles and we have prophets within the church, you need to be aware of what they're trying to tell you. Watch out. We are men. And we will do things that are wrong. And we will say things that are wrong. And it is your responsibility to hold my feet to the fire. Amen. You're my brother and sister in Christ. And you have just as much standing before God as I do. And when we stand here and we preach, we better have our act together. And I have no right to stand there and tell you, you have no right to question me. You have every right to question me. And you should. That's why we encourage you to have your Bibles in your lap. Follow along. Raise your hand if it's like, hey, this doesn't look right to me. It's okay. You should. There's a lot of fear standing up here then. And there should be. The thing is we need to be preaching from what the Word says, the teachings of Jesus. Christ's teachings are also consistent with the entire rest of the Word. You know that?
The rest of the Word points to Christ.
It does. You need to reread John 1 again and following. There's a reason why it's consistent. Something you need to grasp. Do you know why it's consistent from front to back? What does John 1 say? In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And it repeats again what we just read, that in Hebrews, that the Word created the world, the universe, and everything in it by His Word. You get it? The Word. Everything that Moses wrote down, and all the prophets wrote down, and all the things that the prophets spoke that were the Word of God were from who? Jesus. He's not going to contradict Himself. That's why when you read the New Testament, it's consistent with the rest of it. It should be a no-brainer for us. We don't need anything else. This is it. That is the reason that Paul puts those two at the top. You want to know what God wants? Right here. You want to know what God wants us to know? Right here. And primary is your salvation. You want to know how to go be with Him? It's right here. Prophecy is preaching. Teaching goes along with it. And it all is focused on the Word, and it is a gift of the Spirit. Repeat with me. To glorify who? To benefit who? And it should be done out of what? Amen. Let's close in prayer.